This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, of course, on the other side of the world, Christine Lagarde has been tapped to succeed Mario Draghi as president of the European Central Bank following her nomination by the European Council.
Yeah, she'll be taking over in, considering a challenging time. And the EU is facing rising global trade tensions and slowing Eurozone manufacturing, amongst a host of other issues. And however, there is little doubt that the managing director of the International Monetary has the stature and experience to take on the role. That said, the big question now is that, what does her appointment mean for the future of the Eurozone?
So for more on this, here we speak with Ferdinando Giuliano, a columnist with Bloomberg who specializes in the European economics. Thank you for joining us, Ferdinando. Now, in your recent article, you say that there are potential concerns over the ECB's future independence. Why is that?
Well, the issue about the nomination of Christine Lagarde is that she has been a finance minister in France before her tenure at the International Monetary Fund. Now, she's not the only former politician who's joined the ECB top ranks in recent years. The list includes the European Central Bank Vice President Luis de Guindos from Spain, but also, for example, Olli Rehn, the governor of the Bank of Finland. This is showing that a number of former politicians are going to take top jobs within the ECB. Now, Christine Lagarde may well be her own woman. She will be ending her mandate as managing director of the IMF, so she has qualification, expertise, and a track record of independence. But, all this political connection to national governments in various countries in Europe are a source of concern.
And what would her appointment signal?
Well, the first thing to keep in mind is that she will be a continuity candidate. One big question which analysts were asking is whether the new president of the European Central Bank will follow in the footsteps of Mario Draghi, who has, first of all, pledged he will do whatever it takes to save the euro, which really rescued the currency union at a time of crisis, but also unleashed a number of measures to fight off the risk of deflation. And Christine Lagarde is seen as a candidate, as a potential successor who will continue with these tools, unlike other candidates such as the president of Germany's Bundesbank, Jens Weidmann, who would have been more hawkish.
Along with her experience at the IMF, Lagarde brings with her legal expertise and also a certain political awareness. On a policy basis, how do you think this will translate as ECB president?
I think the political skills she brings are, as I said, a possible disadvantage, but can also be an advantage. The functioning of the Eurozone is very political because you need to take into account the interests of many member states. So having someone who knows how to build consensus in a room is certainly an advantage from a certain point of view. And this matters because the Eurozone will need to complete its architecture and, for example, create a single fund to help countries in crisis when this crisis is isolated, when a country is facing, for example, an asymmetric shock. And this fiscal capacity, which has been advocated by the ECB and by the IMF, is lacking at the moment. And Lagarde could try to advocate its creation.
So, Ferdinando, in your view, what will Christine Lagarde's biggest challenges be if she steps into this role?
Well, I think the main challenge is, from a monetary point of view, is to fight off the risk that the currency union falls into a deflation. We're seeing that inflation expectations are plummeting, and that this means that people don't expect inflation to hit the target of the ECB, which is close but below 2%. So making sure that the ECB keeps its credibility, that it can hit this target, is very important at a time when some fear the toolkit of the ECB has been depleted because interest rates are already below zero and the ECB has already embarked on a massive quantitative easing bond buying scheme. But the other challenge will be to promote, as I said, institutional reform within the Eurozone, including steps towards creating a fiscal union to ensure that countries are not left on their own when there is an isolated shock.
Thank you so much, Ferdinando. And that was Ferdinando Giuliano, European economist and European economics columnist with Bloomberg, highlighting some of the challenges that Christine Lagarde may face if she does pick up the role of ECB president. He did highlight, though, that it's potentially a good thing that she has perhaps a legal background, so she's got more political awareness than previous perhaps candidates for the post, because the ECB role of ECB president has typically been held by academics before this.
Yeah, but on the flip side, the argument is that because she's a politician by nature and she's a lawyer, and could she be a populist ECB president? Mm. And in other words, will she put in monetary policy which has some short-term benefits but to the detriment of the Eurozone in the long term versus an economics-based guy who might think, all right, you know, whatever said and done, we have to go through the short-term pains to grow this European Union and to bring it out of the very difficult position it's in. And they might think, you know, Christine might think, I'll just take the shortcut measures. That's some of the critics, you know, out there who think about her role.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, the thing that Ferdinando highlighted, pushing through institutional reform and perhaps creating a fiscal union that will truly benefit all of the countries in the European Union, that's something that they've never quite been able to do because they've never really managed to reach consensus on how to help other countries in trouble, because there are 28 countries in the EU, so it's very difficult to get them to come to the table on
this. Yeah, so you're right there, Lynn. I think that is a point to highlight, that is her ability to get all the countries within Europe to reach consensus, considering the dynamic and the, I guess, the disparity gap between a lot of the different European countries. We have the big powers, we have the big countries, and then also, those who are still considered, emerging.
Yes, emerging European countries versus the more developed ones like the likes of Germany and France, which seem to dictate ECB policy, and that's one of the complaints there.
Yeah, they were the front runners of the European Union from the very beginning, you know, Italy, France and Germany, and other countries have kind of jumped on the bandwagon in the hopes of riding that train to economic prosperity, but it's been a little bit uneven, the growth of the EU as a whole. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.